I have a very dramatic announcement. So anyone with a weak heart should leave now.
Unreal. Revolution. Revolution. Uncensored. Revolution. Revolution. Unfiltered. Revolution. Revolution. Unchanged. Revolution. Revolution. Unadulterated. Revolution. Revolution. Unbelievable. CliffCentral.com. Revolution. Revolution. Revolution.
That is it. Listen, this is a few minutes past nine on a Wednesday morning. It's cliffcentral.com. Thank you so much for having us on. This is Untapped Talent with me, Sia Sangweni Finn. Listen, forget about all the models and the actors who are always in front of the camera. This week on Untapped Talent, we'll be getting to know the guys behind the lens. So thanks once again for having us on. This is cliffcentral.com. And this week, I'll be speaking to Willem van Heerden. Van Heerden, there we go. He's a filmmaker and writer, producer, and also Moiketsi Moshata, who's a photographer. So a bunch of interesting guys, a lot of great, it's a great show, interesting guests, and we're giving away a Samsung Galaxy S4 as well, just a little later in the show. So just keep your eye out on that. Keep locked on WeChat. That's also, by the way, where you can also message us. Our official account is Cliff Central, and all you have to do just to send us a message is tap connect and message to show. But you know why we're giving away a phone, right? Over our WeChat official account, because our 1 year, we're turning one soon on the 1st of May, and we're celebrating it by giving away R500,000 worth of smartphones all throughout the day, really. So you can win just by listening out for the question on Cliff Central. Submit your answer on WeChat by tapping connect, then competition on the menu. So if you want an upgrade or you want like a new smartphone, we'll hook you up with a Samsung Galaxy S4. Yo, what is it with the Galaxy? It's not a galaxy, it's a galaxy. That's it. One with Cliff Central and WeChat for the month of April. If you want more T's and C's and all the like jargon and the technical alles, all you have to do is visit cliffcentral.com for all the terms and conditions that apply. The question will be out a little later in the show. I know some of you are specifically listening to that just for the question. Well, listen out for my show because it's also entertaining. If you also want to add anything, you know, you can send us a question on WeChat or also on Twitter at cliffcentral.com or at Sia_SF. That's my personal Twitter handle. And either than that, let us get the show on a roll. This is Untapped Talent.
Untapped Talent on cliffcentral.com.
Started things off very, very excited to get to know this guy. He's quite a talented and a half, and he's only 21, going on to 22, basically. Willem, thank you so much for being on the show this morning.
Thank you, Sia, and thank you, Cliff Central, for having me.
It's awesome, awesome. Hey, listen, where do I even begin to describe you? Filmmaker, you like to describe yourself as a traveler / storyteller. You're a freelance writer, director, film editor, music lover, art appreciator, talented guy. Is that enough?
I think that's enough, yeah.
Exactly.
Let's keep it short.
So listen, let's talk about, before we go on to talk about your great things, even having at such a young age a film that's gone on to appeal to markets abroad, let's start about getting to know Willem. Where did Willem grow up? What was he like as a guy? And where did he actually get influenced in this art of filmmaking?
Well, I was born in Pretoria, and yeah. Shortly afterwards I moved down to the Cape, where I basically grew up till about 5-6 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I had some of my best childhood memories over there. And I think it was definitely some of the Cape air.
The Cape air.
Oxygen. That influenced me.
Yeah.
But then I moved back to Pretoria. And I went to school. I'm staying in Centurion. So that's where I basically grew up.
Yeah.
And it was around high school that I realized. I was always into, I think, more artistic things, especially music. I was all into music, and I had music lessons and played a little bit in a band in school.
Yeah.
But I was also always interested in, you know, film, in photography, and I always played around with the family video camera. And it was somewhere in high school that I realized that I want to make films. This is what I want to do.
What was it about that? What was it about the arts that really drew you in?
I think it was just watching films and the impact that it had on me and realizing that I can do the same thing. I can tell a story and make this piece of art that can have such an influence on someone's emotion.
Yeah.
And I just knew that this is what I want to do. I want to tell stories and not just tell stories, but entertain people as well.
Do you still remember some of the key influences in your life back then with the movies that you watched?
It was the first movie that I saw that I realized this is what I want to do. I saw Wes Anderson's The Life Aquatic.
Uh-huh.
And it was so rich and appealing to me. And that's when I realized I wanted to do it. And I remember also shortly afterwards watching Be Kind, Rewind with Jack Black, where they remade all that movies. And it was a silly concept, but just them going out and making all these movies.
Yeah.
It was really just something about it that attracted me.
Did you start to notice that even at a young age, you started watching a movie, not just, oh, it's great and entertaining, but you started to notice like the production value or how it's edited and where the lights come in? And did you start looking at it with like that director eye almost?
I think so, yes. That was one of the things that I started picking up, was that I started to look differently at films. There was a lot of things I would be focusing on, especially the subtext of a film. I remember my father always talking about that afterwards, and I think that that later on came through to me, focusing on more than just the visual elements, but what is the story behind the story? And especially things, why is this movie different? The use of color, the use of a certain camera movement and stuff like that.
You're getting very technical so early on. Listen, do you come from a creative family though? You mentioned your father.
Not really, actually. That's, I think, really surprising to some people. Because even when I started with music, people ask, okay, so where does the music come from? And not my father or my mom plays any musical instrument. So maybe if you track it really, go
somewhere
down the
roots. Forefathers, yeah, and the heritage and the something.
Yeah, and I remember in school, everyone thought I'm going to end up studying something like science or...
Really?
Yeah, medicine or something like that. Because when I told them I want to do arts or something like that.
Yeah,
they weren't really happy about it, and they almost kind of forced me to take physical science and
something,
maths and all of that. And luckily, I chose dramatic arts as one of my subjects, and I did really well in that. And I think when the report cards started coming out, they realized, okay, maybe there is something about him that is not really into that side of the world and more into the artistic world.
But how's the support been thus far, though?
Thus far,
now that they've seen,
yeah, I think now that they've seen, it's been really good. Uh-huh. I think for all parents, it is a bit of a nerve wracking experience in the beginning, especially in South Africa, where it's quite, it's not that popular. To tell your parents I'm going to go study art, it's quite a nerve wracking thing. And when I told them I'm going to go study filmmaking, it was definitely, something that they were quite scared of. But I think now, as soon as they realize, I'm really into this and this is my passion and I'm doing what I love, they started, really supporting me. And afterwards, it's been really great.
You know, the really interesting thing about you, Willem, is that I can see and we can all just sense the deep link you have to filmmaking, because it's not just about sitting on the director's seat with the fancy title, and it's not just about shouting action and pressing record somewhere. It really is deeper for you and it's more meaningful for you. You know, the mere fact that you call yourself a storyteller really does show the emphasis you place on the outcome of a project. So what does just the term storyteller mean to you? What does it encapsulate for you?
For me, it doesn't necessarily mean a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. I think a storyteller can be an artist in any kind of into any kind of art. I think it could be a singer or a songwriter. It could be a painter or whatever. It for me, it's about you having a story and and wanting to tell it to the world,
yeah,
and implementing that story into something artistic, either it being music, being lyrics, being a painting,
yeah,
but whatever it is, the viewer or the audience can look at it and they can see there's something more than just paint on a canvas or more than just words with music,
yeah,
or visual images on a screen. There's something more to it.
Why is it important, though, to tell stories?
Because I think there's a lot of things we have in us that we can't necessarily tell in words. And that's what's so great about art, is to you finding a medium you like and saying the things you can't always put it into words or into sentences through a different meaning.
Yeah.
And speaking to a broader audience via that meaning.
I think the blatant question is, how does your mind work? That's it. You know, do you think of an idea, then you develop that into a project, which ultimately leads into a short film? Or, you know, what influences you, and how do you channel all of those crazy, wild thoughts into something on paper that results in a film?
Well, that's an interesting question. How does my mind work?
Yeah.
I have realized that I am... my mind is in a thousand places at once.
Okay.
And I think I definitely have ADD.
Because, hey, it's worked out so far.
Yeah, because I've just realized, like yesterday I was busy typing an email, and the next moment I was Googling stuff and I realized I was still in the middle of the email. So my mind is at a lot of places at once. But what I have realized with the ideas that come to mind is, I think there's a lot of things influencing me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is through music or music videos or stories I read, reading stuff or whatever. And it all gets saved somewhere in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I've realized that I can't necessarily sit and think about an idea,
yeah,
and then start elaborating on that idea. It literally, the idea is just one day it will come to me. Like, but I think it's because all that stuff that's saved into my brain,
yeah,
and one of them suddenly something triggers it, or one of those ideas,
yeah,
and then it just comes to my mind, and the most important thing is to really to sit on that idea, to think about it. I will go and really think about it, and I will go do research about it, whatever, or just start writing about it. So it normally starts out with a really small idea,
yeah,
but I immediately get excited about it. So I realized, okay, this is something I should work on.
Yeah.
And then I would go in and further explore the idea.
So, you know, before we talk about all of the achievements, for example, you know, your film Coffee, which has received international recognition, it was selected for the 2014 National Film Festival for Talented Youth in Seattle in America. Great achievement. But before that, I want to actually find out, in Coffee's case, for example, were you just sitting around and the idea came? Were you just walking somewhere and you felt the need to write it down? How did that idea develop?
I remember with that idea, I really wanted to, to make a short film and send it into film festivals abroad. So I had a clear plan, and I knew there was a cutoff date for the entries.
Okay.
So luckily I was on holiday, so I could open my mind a bit. And I remember sitting outside drinking a cup of coffee,
okay,
and it started raining.
Very original.
Yeah. So, and I just started thinking of things that I would like to tell, the stories and messages inside me that I would like to get across a broader audience.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, the coffee tree gets something. So it was, I knew, okay, I want to do a story about a coffee. And then at that stage, I was feeling, I was really almost kind of bored with my life, as if I'm stuck on one place.
Yeah.
And then the other idea was, because this was in my first year of filmmaking, that I had a lot of friends that I knew that wanted to that was my age and just started studying something, and they wanted to really go into something. They were passionate about something, but they were,
yeah,
kind of forced by their parents to go study something else.
Yeah.
So I had all those ideas, and then I just combined them into a story about a guy in a small town working in his father's family business of selling coffee in,
yeah,
front of the house, and he wanting to be a musician, and not necessarily a musician, but something absurd as a ukulele player.
Exactly.
And that even something absurd like that can be, it's a metaphor for something much bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
That no matter what it is, if you really want to do it and you practice it and you're good at it, who says you're not going to make it. So,
Willem, there you are. You know, as a young person in South Africa, you're influenced by, you know, you're very interested in the filmmaking industry. You're influenced by a whole bunch of different people and different situations. You were in your first year at the Open Window Institute, and you sit down with a cup of coffee. You have this idea. You start writing. And then fast forward just a little bit. You're in Seattle in America. You win in the Talented Youth Division. You also won for Best New Director. And Coffee was received in a second place. What do you start to do from this guy just sitting around with coffee? Here you are, an award-winning filmmaker on a global stage. How's that for you?
I think that's when my eyes really opened up, and where I realized I'm busy with something much bigger. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm actually being a filmmaker now. This is not about sitting back home and playing with a camera anymore.
Yeah.
And just to realize almost how globalized the world has become. Do you think of this was an idea back home in the middle of Pretoria?
Yeah.
That I filmed here with a bunch of friends, and now it's screening on the other side of the world. And it's actually changing people's lives out there. Like this has got an impact on someone's life
exactly
on the other side of the world
from the beginning.
So that's when I realized, okay, I should use this momentum, and I can't stop now. Mm-hmm. And this is what is so beautiful about this medium.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you're from, no matter who you are, you can film is a language that everyone around the world can understand.
And talking about can't stopping, there you are. Coffee was screened in the 2014 San Francisco International Film Festival. In 2014 as well, you produced your second short film, Dropping In, which was selected as one of the 5 Sundance Short Film Challenge winners, and it was screened at the 2015 Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah. Talking about can't stopping. You are still in your 20s, though. And then you go on in 2014, you were awarded the 5th place at the Cannes Lion for your commercial for the 2014 Guinness campaign, Made of More. Does your age define you? A lot of people, you know, they are still directors, wherever they are in the world, even in South Africa, who are still vying for these great achievements and accolades well into their 30s and their 40s. Some have even gone done with their careers and they haven't achieved this level of success as you have. Do you look at yourself and you can sit and almost pat yourself on the back? Or you really do think, you know what, there is a talent there, and it's whether I'm 20 or 50, I'm still going to do it regardless.
Yes, definitely. I think no matter what your age, you can. That thing about you're never too late to start.
Uh-huh.
So some people, I think they've always had to tell them, but they only discover it or only, you know, take that leap of faith to start doing it at a very later age.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the fact that I realized I wanted to do this and really started going for it at a very young age is definitely a very big advantage in my case. And I remind myself of that every day, but also the fact that I'm not the only one, because I realized, especially in places like America,
mm-hmm.
I mean, those kids, they started going to film school from the age of 14. So there's always going to be competition. And to use that to still work, you know, work harder and be better. But I definitely think the fact that I'm still young isn't at advantage for me, and I've still got a lot to learn. So even though I'm really privileged that all of my work so far was successful, there's still a lot of it to learn, and I'm privileged that I'm still young enough to kind of experiment with this medium.
Yeah,
because I think it gets more and more difficult the older you get, and people are going to be more critical, and it's going to be more hard. The competition is going to be a lot more stronger. So,
do you ever take all of this success to your head or your heart? Does it ever get to you? Like, come on.
Definitely.
BA Film Arts at the Open Window Institute. Do you ever sometimes sit in class and go, you know what? Open Window, I really like you guys. You're really doing a lot for me. But listen, I showcased at Cannes, so why am I even still here?
No, I don't think I look at it that way. It definitely gets to your head sometimes. You're realizing, wow, you've achieved something really big, you know, going to a place like Sundance. But the beautiful thing is when I got there, it is such a huge festival. I completely underestimated it. And there's all of these people and all of these big-time filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of have that thing about the small fish in a big pond suddenly coming from a big fish in a small pond. And having that contrast coming back to South Africa and, you know, the other guy, one of the actors the other day, he told me... someone said, "Oh, you're getting famous now," and he said, "Yes, Portia Struem famous."
Oh, okay.
And I think that's a really good term for it, you know.
Yeah.
The big fish in a small pond, but going over there, you're just a little fish. Yeah. But that was beautiful for me, you know, the sense of, I have achieved something big, but I'm still a bit of a nothing over there.
Yeah.
And I should keep on fighting to get my voice heard and to get my work out there.
You know, Willem, what I admire about you, and this doesn't just, you know, revolve around you as a filmmaker, but I think everyone who's going out there in the field and navigating and trying to make something of themselves can learn from you, in the sense that you know what you know and you recognize you don't know what you don't know. So I know, just me with my non-leveled head, I would be out there going, "Listen here, people, I was at Sundance, so do not talk to me anymore." But here you are really making a conscious effort to still learn some more. And that really is a big, big thing. And even at a young age to recognize that, heaven only knows what your future holds for you. So great, great success awaiting you, most definitely. So here you are, final year studying, three official short films done and dusted. Your third, Love Psych.
Yes.
And now you're currently working on, is it Daniel Munro?
Yes, that's right.
This is in pre-production.
This is in pre-production, yeah.
I feel like I can milk an exclusive out of you. Does anybody know about Daniel Munro?
Actually, no, but I'm glad you're talking about this. Because
yes.
I want to start building that up, because I think this is going to be a really big project that I'm really excited about.
Okay, so let's talk about that. How much can we reveal for now?
Well, as much as there is to reveal.
Okay. Is there a one-page script so far? What's going
on? The script is done. Well, I've got a second draft done.
Uh-huh.
And we're looking at a 30-minute short film here. So I decided I want to step it up uh-huh. a bit. So I think of this more of a medium script, because this is just under... Because I think they say anything under 45 minutes, it's still a short film.
Okay.
But most of the short films... about 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
So there's going to be half an hour, and I want to make it my last short film before hopefully working on a feature-length film next year. So I would really like to this is going to be, this should be the short film that possible investors or producers start looking at and saying, okay, cool, let's invest in this guy for a feature film. And I really think... I've kind of, even though I'm not there yet, I've experimented a lot with the first three,
uh-huh.
and I'm starting to get the sense that I'm getting my touch and what I really want to do, and getting that. I think a very difficult thing for me is getting the balance between being an international filmmaker but still keeping a bit of South Africa in it.
Yeah.
Something that I think Neil Blomkamp has achieved really,
oh, yeah.
really well in what he's doing. And I think the story that I have now is something, it's an international story that can speak to anybody in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
But the characters and the places are very South African.
Yeah.
And I think it's something South African that hasn't really been explored much, and it's beautiful characters, it's beautiful parts in South Africa that people outside of South Africa, I think, know nothing about.
Yeah.
And I want to give them a little bit of that as well.
So we're well worth starting production in August.
Yes.
Are we on the track?
That's the plan. So the biggest problem now is I've got a few people involved that I contacted, some really big time actors out there that say they're interested in it, and I'm still waiting for final confirmation, but I'm getting the sense that things are starting to fall in place.
Mm-hmm.
I went out and I went location scouting, and everything is confirmed so far for August, September. The biggest problem now is the budget.
Okay.
Because as soon as you taking a step up, your budget is also taking a step up, and so there's a lot of cost involved, but I'm really working on getting a nice proposal together and starting a crowdfunding site and trying to get some funding for this film. But I'm sure I'll make a plan. Yeah.
You definitely will. In your short career thus far, you've achieved these great things. You definitely look like the man with the plan. So on that note, let's get a few pearls of wisdom from you. What would you have to say to anyone, not just in South Africa, but young people everywhere, really, who have this mentality of, woe unto me, I can't do it, oh, I can't do it because, you know, they're just always blaming a lot of people instead of really stepping up and going out there for their dreams. What do you have to say to them?
What I've realized is that there's all these opportunities out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just up to you to start seeing them and start taking them on. Because
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people have this mentality that some people are lucky or... I think there is a sense of luck involved,
uh-huh.
but the majority of I think it's about the opportunities are there for everyone.
Exactly.
It's about, you know, you going out and taking that opportunity and really where there's a will, there's a way. If you've put all your passion and dedication into something, you will succeed in it. And that thing about the 10,000 hour rule, that's the truth. I mean, it's
all
the
about
fact.
The practice
so
as well.
If you start putting in the hours, you're going to start reaping out of it and getting success out of it.
Well, Willem, I absolutely think you're on the right path. And heck, the whole world agrees. As now can I officially call you an award-winning filmmaker. That sounds right. Sounds very befitting to you. Pabashni on WeChat says, try Kickstarter, dude. Your project sounds amazing.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
So all the best for you. Thanks. Absolutely. You know, let's speak things into existence. Where does Willem want to be in 5 years' time?
5 years is quite a long way down the road if I look what I do
in just studying for like three, four years. You have four films down. Yeah.
The plan is to go to the US for a year,
uh-huh.
Next year. I'm trying to see if I can do an internship at Sundance Film Festival next year.
Awesome.
And then I just want to go travel for a few months, do a backpack trip through the US, a cross-country backpacking trip, and hopefully then start writing and working on ideas for feature-length film. And after that, I'll see where my opportunities take me. Am I going to stay longer, or will I move back and start working on something? Yeah. But definitely the next plan is a feature-length film.
Such awesome stuff. Look at us. It's time to now like dust yourself off and you go out there and make things happen. If you haven't been inspired by Willem, then I have no idea what's wrong with you. Willem, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks so much.
Award-winning filmmaker. He's a writer and director. Still studying at the Open Window Institute, but going on to achieve such great stuff. And this is what Untapped Talent is all about right here on cliffcentral.com. And on that note, let's just casually give away a phone, right? We're celebrating turning one and we're giving away R500,000 worth of smartphones. So you ready? Go on to WeChat right now. I'll give you a few seconds. You're there. Tap connect and then competition right on the menu. So here's the question. In order to upgrade or get a new smartphone as a whole, we're going to hook you up with a Samsung Galaxy S4. Today's question is, Cliff Central's birthday shares a day with which public holiday? I don't know if it's too much of a hint, but since I like you guys, I'm going to tell you. Our birthday is on the 1st of May. So which public holiday is on the 1st of May? So go on to WeChat, tap connect and competitions as well. Send us your answer and I will be Oprah-fying your life, giving away free stuff. It's all the fun of the job, really. This is cliffcentral.com. My name is Sia and we're on Untapped Talent.
Hello.
Hi, Dave from A1 Builders in Pretoria.
Yeah.
It's Dan. I found your number on the internet, and I need you to build me a room, the purpose of which I cannot disclose.
What?
Fine. It's a sunroom. Can you start immediately?
It's 4 a.m.
I'm sure it's 4 a.m. somewhere, Dave, but here in SA, it's 10.
You mean USA?
There's more than one Pretoria out there. For the quickest and most efficient way to find what you're looking for, start your search with yellowpages.co.za or download the app. Yellow Pages. For local, reliable results.
It has been locked away from the eyes of the world, chained, never to be released. But now, it wants to get out. Stay tuned to Cliff Central weekdays to find out how you can unleash the Jeep Renegade. Find hidden codes and videos posted by Jeep SA, and you could win Jeep Renegade prizes, as well as become the person to single-handedly unleash the Jeep Renegade upon the shores of South Africa. Are you renegade enough? Visit unleashrenegade.co.za to find out. T's and C's apply.
Untapped talent on cliffcentral.com.
This is Untapped Talent with me, Sia Sangwenifin. Still continuing the discussion with very, very interesting people. My next guest, Simply Mo. He's giving me like, I think I'm getting many a Sotho lesson right now in studio as I try to pronounce all. Can I tackle your full name? I think I'm good though.
Yeah, you're welcome. Go ahead.
Moiketsi,
yes.
Moiketsi. And then the surname is Moshata.
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 Yeah.
Feel very regal as I say that. If they ever made like a Lion King 4, they should be like Moshata.
I don't think you'd catch it.
Listen, you're a photographer.
Dude.
You should be encouraging these things. So quite a journey and a half. You know, I love the 21st century because I actually discovered you on Instagram of all places.
Yeah.
Your handle at Mofela.
Mofela, yeah.
M-O-F-E-E-L-A. L-A,
yep.
Before we get into that, how do you actually decide on the handle, Mofela?
It's actually, initially I was running with my whole name.
Uh-huh.
And I figured that it's a bit too long and I didn't like the underscores because there's already other Moeketsis on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I felt that
I
can't say
unique.
The real more, you know, that,
yeah.
You know how people go with the real this, the real the other thing.
It kind of looks like a weird hip hop name. Like you're trying to be a rapper.
I could be.
Okay.
I could be.
Let's not take that out of the cards.
I haven't just tried. I haven't tried that part of my journey.
Yeah.
But maybe who knows?
Okay.
As I
keep
go.
All the doors open there.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So you started on Instagram because this is the interesting thing about you.
Yep.
I don't even know if you want to be classified as a photographer, but you take great photos, but you don't own a camera.
The thing is, I'm not a photographer per se. I consider myself a social photographer because I take photos as I drive, as I go, because a lot of times I take walks, I run, and
yeah.
In between I would sort of stop and take a pic because of something would attract me or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't really... And another thing is that I don't really take pictures of people. I think that there's already too many photographers that take people.
So you
pictures.
Don't like accept, you know, people calling out, reaching out to you, getting paid to take pictures of them.
No.
You take pictures
I
of
take
what personally
pictures
interests
of,
you.
Yeah, objects because of how they're shaped and things like that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that I would go out of my way to say, I'm a photographer, I'm here to take pictures of your wedding or whatever gig you would have.
Yeah.
So,
okay,
yeah.
But I'm still trying to wrap around the correct term then.
Okay.
You're not a normal person, and I use normal inverted commas, I don't
even
know what the proper definition of normal is, but you're not normal because you do have an extra ounce of creativity. The mere fact
Thank
that
you.
You're drawn to objects, you see things in a different way, you're definitely a creative. Okay, we're agreeing on that.
That I cannot up to.
Listen, by the end of this interview, I'll get a term for you. So you are a creative.
I'd say
not
yeah.
necessarily 100% a photographer, but you have an eye out for certain objects.
That's true.
You have That's a creative true. Eye.
Let's agree on that.
There we go.
There we go.
So I finally achieved point A.
Yeah, man.
So when did this creative eye start, though?
I've been taking photos for the past almost 10 years now.
Really?
And yeah, and 99.9% of the time it's been on smartphones. And ever since I've had a smartphone,
yeah,
I've been taking pictures. And it's always been about something. I would see something interesting. And I'd see it could be chairs, but how that chair would be sort of positioned.
Yeah.
That would attract me to take the pictures. I mean, I have pictures on my phone of, you know, the chairs that have wheels and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the one that I'm sitting on now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take a picture of just the wheel, not necessarily the entire chair.
So it's very abstract almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I focus on such things, like really random things. If I really show you my phone, you'd go, you're weird.
Okay, and now I feel like I need to. Where's your phone? Do you have your phone here?
I do.
We aren't going to judge here. I really want to... I now have a fascination to your pictures. Right, let's see what he has.
There is also a lot of pictures on my phone of people, because what happens is that with 10 stories, the other thing that I need to mention is that a lot of the pictures that I have, in fact, all of the stories that I've done now with 10 stories, are pictures of people that they sent me the pictures. I ask for the picture and the story.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily take the picture of the person. And soon, actually, after I started this, in fact, this is an account that you can, the folder, right there going up, you'll see there's really a lot of things
Got it. So you'll take pictures of like a corner, someone's, you know, eye.
Yeah.
Amply shaped tree, figures, statues.
Yeah, man.
I like that you have an unconventional view on things. We just see a pot plant, but from slanting up ever
from
so...
From that pot plant...
Yeah, you see things in a different view.
Yep.
What's your draw to that?
I've always been fascinated by... For me, stories, or rather pictures have stories. You see a picture, there's something that you see that you can sort of analyze on the story. And I get very analytical when I look at pictures. I mean, I would see the name of a street behind you. You're taking a picture, but there's like a name, or there's a taxi. That's probably sort of the doors falling off or something. I would notice such things.
You really pay attention to the finer details.
I pay attention to finer details when it comes to photography or pictures in general.
And then
that's what I sort of do most of the time.
So then this evolved to 10 stories. Hashtag 10 stories.
10 stories.
Let's talk about that. When did you get that started?
It actually started in Feb, but the sort of conceptualization of that started in Jan.
Mm-hmm.
And this is after, on the 31st of December, I was sitting with a friend, and me and her, I think we had met... This was actually our very first meeting.
Okay.
We've known each other for, I think, over a year now via Twitter. And we've been chatting on the phone.
21st century, people. We're making things happen on Instagram. We're getting friends on Twitter. Yes.
Yeah, so we exchanged numbers, I think, on Twitter. And then we started talking further. And we met on the 31st. And we spoke about how we got introduced to Joburg, both of us. And we shared our stories.
Where are you originally from?
Home is Free State. There's a little dorpy there called Heilbronn.
Dorpy,
yeah. And it's famous for people that travel to the further into Free State, going to like your Bethlehem, Qwaqwa, Fixback, and them, and otherwise going to Lesotho.
Yeah.
And so those people that travel such routes would know. Probably Mabal would know as well. Because
yeah, Mabal is from Qwaqwa, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm from there. And that's my hometown with three other siblings. So there's four of us.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, but when it came to Joburg, I got here in 2004, late. Mm-hmm. And my experiences, or my very first experience, actually, which I think was the highlight. Which
I hope
we
it was
were
a good one.
About. It wasn't, unfortunately.
Okay, let's talk about it. What?
My very first, when I moved into a flat in Hillbrow, a girl fell from the 10th floor and died instantly. And that was my sort of welcome to Joburg. And I mean, I had not even slept one night. Had I not ran that time, I doubt I'll ever run out of Jersey. So
that was a very unconventional induction. But I feel like you really, not necessarily read into things, but you see an under layer.
I generally see under layers of things.
And so what does an experience like that do to you?
Look, you, I think at the time, because, you know, being the firstborn at home, you sort of think you got to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't run. And being a guy also, you can't run back home and say, yeah.
I'm done with Joburg.
I'm done.
There are people
I've had my fair share, you know. Yeah. So I just had to, like, I think over time, it sort of went to the back of my head. But that, for me, remains the biggest thing that I say, this is how I got to Joburg.
Mm.
When I got to Joburg, this is what happened. And I squatted a bit in Wits with a friend.
Did you actually study at Wits? Was there studying taking place? Got it. I just feel like there's a deeper story into everything
so you see,
in your life.
This is what led to the stories.
Yeah.
And I feel that a lot of us have stories. A lot of us have one story or the other to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fascinated by those. I'm fascinated by reading stories or hearing stories. So that's what led to 10 stories. And I chat to people. And fortunately, a lot of people that I've asked, can I please have your story? And this is what I'm doing. Like, yeah, by all means. You know what I mean? Some take longer to get to me, but I do get the stories. I think so far I've only been turned down by two people, which is not bad.
Yeah, definitely not bad. What's your fascination with stories, though?
I believe that there's just so much to learn from other people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't engage people enough. Mm-hmm. For us to learn about them, and even it's a stranger, maybe someone that you don't even know that you meet at the mall.
Yeah.
And I've always said that I've had some of the best conversations with random people that I've probably never even met after that.
Yeah.
And their names I probably wouldn't even remember or didn't even ask.
Yeah.
And we are so antisocial, and I myself is probably one, because on days that I take the train, I always have my headphones in my bag and my phone. So those two things go with me. And I know that I'm very antisocial, but in the same breath, I love stories. I like looking at people and thinking, they seem very interesting. Can I ask for, because some people I've actually asked in person to say, can I please feature you on the 10th story?
And wow.
Your story is interesting, or at least I think that you have an interesting story.
What's the power of human connection? What would you have to say the power of human connection is? Because that's ultimately why we're engaging in these stories and we're getting to know other people.
I think most of the time we always think that other people are not humans per se, mm-hmm. because of the kind of life that they live, that maybe they have supernatural powers or something like that.
Yeah.
And when you get to know people, then you get to see that, she actually is nice, or he's actually a very cool dude. Like, we can hang out and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I get fascinated by just knowing people, knowing them. And I always say that I can't exactly claim that I know you if I just know that this is somewhere in Finn.
Yeah.
And that's that. For me, I say I know someone because I know something beyond just their name, or that I know them beyond just the social interactions that we have on Instagram or Twitter.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that with time, I'll get to meet some of the people that I featured in person. And some I have told that I think that you have a much bigger story than what you've shared.
Wow.
But we'll embark on that at a later stage.
So with that said then, not just as Moiketsi Moshata, but as Mo from @MoFela on Instagram, how would you personally describe yourself?
Very loud. I laugh a lot. Uh-huh. Like, I go crazy. Even if I'm standing on my own, I'm looking at my phone, and there's something funny.
Yeah.
I'm not the kind, laugh, low, keep it low.
Yeah.
I'm the go out loud, laugh crazy person.
Really?
And in public, that is. I'm not talking about in the car if I'm driving.
That's normal.
Yeah. So that's me. And I'm a easygoing guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much to myself, or at least I don't like crowds. I hang out with very small groups of people,
mm-hmm.
Maybe one-on-ones, twos, threes,
smaller
groups. I've probably been to one concert since I got to Joburg.
Wow, since 2004?
Since 2004.
One concert.
And I suppose it's also how it goes with their bringing as well. At home, we were never really people that were allowed to go out late.
Yeah.
And I went out for the first time when I was in matric. And even then, it's because my teacher had paid for me to go to the fundraising thing, that we're doing for our matric.
You seem like a very introspective guy with a lot of reflection as well. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 34.
See, just still have a whole life to live. Are you about to write a book as well? What's next for you, basically?
I doubt I'll write a book. I read a lot.
Yeah.
I love reading. And
but
what I'll do, though, is probably get 10 stories into... I'm hoping that it'll go into a film. I was hoping to chat to...
Willem earlier.
The guy that you had earlier.
Yeah, the filmmaker.
But we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping that it will sort of grow into something like that at a later stage. But for now, I think the focus is just have fun with the stories and enjoy what's happening. And
heck, listen, because even if you're taking pictures with your phone, Kim Kardashian is out there publishing a book of selfies. So to each his own, but if she can publish a book of selfies, then I'm sure you can publish a book of substance, of
maybe
people's stories.
Maybe I should.
And you know what? Now that we agreed on this on air, a certain 5% for Sia won't hurt. Moving on. Moving on very swiftly. This is how it works. It's nothing personal. It's just business.
Look, someone has actually volunteered to. In fact, so far I've had one person that volunteered to actually write a story.
Yeah, now and you're moving past it, trying to say it wasn't my original
idea.
All
I'm saying is, you know, anyway, we could like work out something.
But on a serious note, though, what's your personal vision for yourself?
First, I think I have run my fair share of the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at a stage now where I'm trying to explore other avenues outside of the corporate world. The 9-to-5 is...
Because you call yourself a temporarily a corporate slave.
That
those are your own words, not mine.
Well, temporarily because that's not where I want to go. I want to get into business as well. So that's the part that I'm still sort of trying to research and things like that.
Okay.
I've already sort of written out some of the things that I would sort of want to explore. And even the one idea, the business plan is half done.
Mm-hmm.
And the delay there is because there's other people that I need to still meet with for more information. Because, I mean, you kind of want to get into something and you have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is that most of us want to get into business, but we don't do enough research.
So yeah,
that's something that I would want to explore. And hopefully I would also get into video part of 10 stories.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get it into YouTube, but I need to speak to someone who's probably going to help me get 10 stories into YouTube or onto YouTube.
How has the reception been like for 10 stories? Because, you know, we see the likes of Humans of New York and, you know, they post up a picture with a story as well and had quite a good worldwide reception. South Africans particularly, how have we reacted to our own stories and our own people? And
I wouldn't say bad,
uh-huh,
but it's not been great. But I'm appreciative of the fact that, I mean, I started somewhere and the very first story that I had, I thought that was a good reception for something that's starting, that's new.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not like I have 1,000 followers myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say so far so good. In fact, I didn't know about Humans of New York until I asked one of the guys that I featured in the very first series
mm-hmm.
that I did. And he said, do you know of Humans of New York? And I said, no, I don't. He said, check it out.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I came about, or at least got to know about it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very interesting. But I'll still want to sort of pursue 10 stories and see how far it goes.
Looking back at things now, what would you have to say has been the most powerful story someone has shared with you?
I've had a couple of ladies that spoke about their journey into motherhood and the experiences thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And their battles that they had to fight. I've had recently now the story that I published on Monday and the story that I published today, actually, just before I came into the show.
Yeah.
The guys speak about being a dad because I specifically asked them to say, what does being a dad mean to you? So those are the guys that I spoke about, or rather, at least those are the stories that I think for now have sort of got my attention.
Yeah.
Maybe particularly because, especially for the guys, because I'm a dad or I'm a new dad. So
congratulations.
For me, thank you, man. That for me sort of, because I don't want to be a guy that says I'll do this on my own and I got this. I want to learn from other people.
Yeah.
So I'm a very curious person, or at least my mind is always trying to figure out things, learn things, and know something.
And so would you have to say you've learned the most about South Africans and the essence of humanity, which we all have, despite wherever we come from?
Despite the challenges that they've come across,
okay,
the humility that people have. And I think through the stories, I've got to learn that people are very humble.
Yeah.
And that for me, it really, and also, you know, having to ask someone that has 1,000 plus followers to say, can I please feature you on my 10 stories?
Yeah.
And the people oblige. That for me is like, wow, you
know,
because you think sometimes, you know, on Twitter, there's, Twelebs, I think.
Yes, that's Twelebs.
Yeah.
Twitter celebs. That's age we live in.
You ask such people to like, can I please feature you? And they agree. It's like, wow. So, mm-hmm. yeah, man. So I think for me, the lessons that came with this, or from humans in general, in South Africa particularly, the humility that we have about their stories. or about our lives, despite the challenges.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Hey, you took a simple Instagram account and you took it to new heights, and it's very, very interesting.
That's actually what I wanted to do when I started, to say I want, or rather the beginning of the year, I said, I don't want to be just a guy that posts pictures. That's boring, you know. I wanted to be interesting this year. And when I sat down and thought about it, I thought, oh, 10 stories. And initially, I was actually just going to run one sort of pack of 10 stories. And that's that.
Yeah.
But with how it was received, at least amongst the people that I spoke to, and the support that I got as well from other people, this is worth sort of at least pursuing.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for this year, and next year we think about other things.
Yeah.
But for this year, we ride on it.
Mo, you've definitely changed the way I'll now look at taking a picture of my meal and Instagramming it. So thank you very much for that.
Thanks a lot for having me, man.
No, it's absolutely awesome stuff. Moiketsi Moshata here, who's a foot. No. We're calling you, but a creative eye. Social photographer, not just a photographer, because he doesn't even own a camera, but he's a social eye. And he's at Mofela on Twitter and Instagram. That's Mofeela. That's it. So thank you so much to you for joining me. And also Willem van den Heuvel, filmmaker and writer and director. Flipping award-winning Nochal at such a young age. So this is awesome stuff. Yeah. Yes. It's definitely what Untapped Talents is all about. Thank you so much for listening in. It's been another hour done and dusted on a Wednesday. And hey, I also have to say a big, big congratulations to Visile, who is our Samsung Galaxy S4 winner. It's Visile. Last week I had a huge issue with mispronunciation. So this week I'm making sure that I get right. It's Visile. Or else I also Googled. It's actually an English word as well. So it's a visile. Dictionary.com says Visile is a person best stimulated by visual things. Hey, it so ties in with this week's theme on Untapped Talents. But let me wrap up. Thank you so much for being with me. Until next week, my name is Sia, and I'll see you.
CliffCentral.com.